again, everyone. This is Blue Hair Dave, and we have another great episode of the Success Slayers for you. This one's about getting out of your comfort zone and trying something new, and we're going to talk about some of Sean's activities doing different contests that he had no experience in doing, decided to do them, train for them, and go do them. And sometimes you're prepared to do these things, and sometimes you're not. The rule of thumb is going to be you need to get out of your comfort zone and just go out and try new things. Here we go. Let's get this episode rolling. How's it going, everybody? This is the Success Slayers podcast. I am Blue Hair Dave, and this is
Big Sean on the microphone.
Today's episode, we are going to talk about some of the things that Sean's done lately with some competitions. And if anybody out there is competitive or they want to be competitive or try new things, really, I guess today's subject will be what?
Pulling the trigger, getting it done for real.
Pull the trigger.
Hold on, let me crack open my Bang here. Fueled off Bang.
Coffee just doesn't do it.
not anymore. So kind of what I wanted to touch on, or why I wanted to do this podcast in the first place, is there's never really a right time to be ready. I feel like no matter what point in your life, you know, especially if you're hesitant on doing something or pulling the trigger or jumping into a competition or whatever that may be, you're there's always some bit of you that's like, oh, you know, I could fail, you know, which very may well be the case. You could. But on the other hand, that failure, you've learned so much. And you tried. So, and that goes a long way as far as anyone's eyes, you know, especially getting a job, doing anything. At least you show people you've tried. You know, to me, as an entrepreneur, that goes a long way. Just doing something, getting your foot in the door, no matter how ready you are or think you are, I don't think you'll ever be a point where it's 100%.
Yep.
So, I wanted to kind of, especially with Dave's stuff that I actually just jumped into as well. I had no idea what I was doing, and Dave kind of was just, you know, handle it, get it done.
Yeah, the easiest way to, I mean, you learn so much from the attempt than you would reading it. Like, so you could go to college for 4 years, get a bachelor's, and then go get your master's for another two. Now, 6 years of extra education, and whatever it is you're doing, you'll learn more in your first 2 weeks of your job than you will that whole 6 years. So that's basically what we're talking about today, is just pull the trigger, no matter what it is and what you're doing. But we're going to use the example here with Sean, because Sean's done a couple things that he had zero experience in, and he said, I want to do that, and then he just went and did it. And there wasn't 5 years build-up time. There wasn't, I'm going to go buy 100 outfits to go do this. I'm going to go do this and that. It was like, let's start, and then we'll figure it out as we're training, and then we'll just do the contest. And so which one do you want to go over first?
Let's go back to when I was 18, and back when you knew me when I was 18 years old. I was kind of a young trainer, didn't know anything about bodybuilding, but I knew it was kind of something that I wanted to evolve into. So bodybuilding was kind of the first endeavor that I tackled. And it's when I moved to my own gym and kind of got my own Sean Carden fitness business started, I knew I needed to evolve in some way. So I was like, okay, you know, bodybuilding kind of goes hand in hand with being a trainer. So how can I make this happen? So I work with a guy named Kirk, who actually used to be a competitive bodybuilder of 28 years, been doing it forever. So I, you know, kind of asked him for help. Always ask for help. That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Ask people. Ask.
Yeah. Ask away.
And they like to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love talking about it, too. Yeah, it's fun.
People even love to share what they know, because they know about it.
Even the failures are fun to talk about, too. Those are the best.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I fucked up big time. Like, but I learned, you know. Anyway, going back to going back to the bodybuilding. So, and there's a lot of, if you've seen real bodybuilding in a Speedo, you know, there's posing, you know, there's a lot going on. And really, to be honest, you're in front of 1, 2, 3, 4,000 people in a Speedo with a tan on. And if you've ever been there, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, to say the least. And I remember, especially if it really hits bells, because if you listen to that Eminem show, you know, Mom Spaghetti, and it barfed. Oh, I did. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because the anxiety, the nervous buildup, and you're like, what the hell am I doing? You know, and I had no idea. So even further, so I finally, you know, get to the show. I think I'm ready. I'm like, dude.
So you puked.
Well, a couple times.
We'll go back to that. We'll go back to that. Okay, we'll go back. That's a couple, mental note. We'll go back to that.
A couple times, actually. So I finally get on stage or get close to it. My tan's good. And I just start sweating profusely. So if you can picture this. I'm backstage in a line with guys who, you know, have been doing this. I'm kind of first time. I mean, I thought I looked great, you know, until you get into a bodybuilding competition where everyone looks freaking great. And you're like, oh, damn. I don't really look that great. Like, oh shit. So I gotta do something good. So I start sweating and I'm like, oh man, tan's running all down my body. And I'm like, oh crap, I really look like crap. And then this girl comes to me, she's like, you really need to touch that up before you get on stage. And I'm like, oh crap, you're right. So she touches it up. I get back in line real quick. Guy jumps off and he's like, number 98, you're on stage. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, do you have your music? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, What are you talking about? He's like, you need to do a 90-second solo routine right now in front of the crowd. And I'm like, I'm sweat bullets. I'm like, what do you mean? I thought we were all going on stage and like posing together and we walk off. He's like, no, you need to go. 3, 2. He's like, I'm going to put something on. 1. He's like, 98, go. And I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, I think you were in there. Were you in the
was stand? That? I don't know if I was at that one.
Dave went to one of my shows. Hopefully it was a better one. I did another one after that. But anyway, going back to this. So I'm just sweating on stage. I look so bad. I see my old pops in the background just laughing. I'm like, oh, crap. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I remember in my head, I saw Pumping Iron back in the day with Arnold. So I got some flashbacks going on. I'm throwing some double buys on. I'm doing the back bows. I'm like, oh, man, it probably looks like crap because I'm not even know what I'm doing. And then some weird techno just boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, oh, crap, there's some magic mic shit going on. I'm like, oh, damn. So I have no idea what I'm doing. Songs. I'm like, oh, damn. I was only out there for like 60 seconds. And I was like, I got to get off. So I just get off. And I like, pretend I know what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I walk off stage. I'm like, oh, my God. I've been a half a heart attack. Sweats. Right. I don't think I had a tan at this point. It was all probably on the floor back there.
But then, big puddle of tan on the ground.
But then I got off and I'm like, oh, shit. But you know what? I think at that point in my life, I evolved 10 levels at least.
Like, so you'll never be afraid of
anything again. Like that broke down all barriers and walls of any kind of speaking or any kind of being in front of people. It's gone now. I'm on stage in my Speedo.
Yeah. Yeah. So as part of our
not program, knowing what the hell I'm doing, you know,
as part of our new stage fight program, we're going to have everybody walk around in a G-string on stage and tell stand-up comedy.
It will.
That would do it, right?
Well, shed of all fears.
You'll never be afraid of anything again.
But no, I mean, back to the point. So, but I went out there, no idea what I was doing. I could have just turned tail, been like, oh, hell no, I don't gotta fucking do that shit. But, you know, I sucked it up, got it done. And by the way, they all got callbacks. I got dead last place, of course. All so, right. So. And, you know, I took that loss.
You were ahead of your time.
And I learned so much. I could have wrote a book from every damn thing that I did wrong that day. And next year, so moving forward one more year, I came back for the same. It was Mr. San Diego, the Border States Tournament. And I came back and I took second in the overall in the heavyweight division. So I learned. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you follow me on social media, there are some pictures back if you keep scrolling on that winning shot I got. It was pretty good. I dialed it in, got the posing down, got routines down, and I watched YouTube videos. That's actually how I learned how to pose.
Okay. Yep. It's all out there, right?
All on YouTube,
everything
you know?
Everything you need is out there. You know what would have been on YouTube too? Or Google? Is
I hope it's not my performance.
What do I need to do when I do a bodybuilding contest? I bet it would have had something about music.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It has to. If it's real bodybuilding, you have to get on stage and do a little bit.
So you might want to do one Google search before you do the contest.
Yes.
Is the lesson here.
Just don't Google me on that one.
But like Sean, he learned a lot for just doing it, and he no longer has any stage fright.
Zero.
Did you puke then?
On the second one, no, actually, okay. Because I was kind of expected, you know. And to be honest, there's not a lot of physicality that goes into bodybuilding. It's purely aesthetic, so you don't really have to gear yourself towards getting your ass beat down, per se. Mm-hmm. it's a lot of dieting, like a lot of like you feel so badly because of the dieting. You have to dial in your body so well and get rid of the water weight, so you really feel like crap. It's like a, and I started doing strongman a couple years ago. Could kind of get into that, but it's a whole different monster: strongman and bodybuilding. One's purely about dialing in the body and the diet and how, you know, how you look aesthetically with symmetry, and the other one's solely about functionality, performance. You know, how much weight can you push? And going back to bodybuilding, I was a little kind of taken aback with the how political it is. Mm-hmm. It's so political because if you don't go the right performer, you don't know this.
Well, it's like figure skating,
it's,
right? Because you have to do certain techniques, and they judge you on them.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely. And you need to have your of course you have the proposing dialed down, but you need to know these promoters. You know, some of these gyms who have certain guys in there who know.
So like everything, it's
the same names. But I was like, and there's no real eye besides the judges that matter, you know. He likes his arms better, your arms better. It's like, it's like, what do you like better, black or white? Sometimes it comes down to that because everyone looks so perfect, like, you know. But so I kind of afraid from that. I was like, okay, I'm not really a feminine guy, so standing in those tanning lines really took me down a notch, man.
It was uncomfortable for me.
It was weird. I'm not going to lie. Dude, I'm a big old dude. I'm like standing there with a bunch of chicks and dudes. Like, I'm like, man, what am I doing here? So anyway, that's just me. That's your thing. And you like it. Go ahead. I mean, not saying it's hard. You know, it's real hard. But yeah, not my thing. So I moved on to strongman. There was a kind of tragic event that happened in my life where I kind of hit rock bottom. And I met a guy named Nate Small. And he's the man. There's nothing I could say cooler about this dude. He kind of pulled me out of the ground, literally. Let me train in his gym for free. Taught me everything I know about strongman. And I got undying love for this guy. You only come across a couple mentors in your life. You know, Dave's one of them. Nate's one.
We should have Nate on.
Oh yeah, he's that'd be so cool. He did own Gladiator, but his wife is big in the Navy, and they had to get shipped off to back to Virginia.
We'll figure out these remotes.
But yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. But anyway, so he let me train there, kind of taught me everything I know. It's down in Chula Vista, which is a good 25 minutes away. But at that point in my life, I didn't really care. You know, that was my outlet. That was my that saved my life. So it was kind of, I really vibed there. I really liked the style. I really liked the metal. I really liked the, it was kind of the full bipolar opposite of bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no, it's just grit your teeth, clang and bang.
No show, just.
Just all functionality. Cares what your abs look like, But we do care about, you chucking that weight around. Now you got some clout in the gym.
Yeah, okay.
But so, and I think everyone kind of comes across that point where you hit rock bottom. Now, some people, and I've had a lot of good freaking friends that go the wrong way, and I'm sure so have you, that take their, do drugs, just numb the pain rather than fix it.
Instead of fighting through it.
Instead of fix it, So if you're going through that and you're listening, don't fucking give in. Fight that shit. Fight it. We've all been there. We've all had struggles, but it separates people, push through it. So going back to Strongman and Nate, kind of how I tied this all in, it really kind of showed me a path, and I was kind of looking for something because I was so really over bodybuilding, and I needed, for me, my mom always said a devil makes work for idle hands, and for me that is 100% true. And a lot of my friends too, if you have all this time on your hands, you're not doing anything, I promise you're not going to get into something good.
Yeah.
So, so you might want to make that time worthwhile. So, especially for me, I need to keep myself busy. So I'm always like, okay, what can I do? So this outlet was perfect. So as I started to train, I started to get better and better. I entered in my first strongman competition. I was like, okay, shit, I'm not ready, but I'm ready. I remember Nate did this competition with me. And we were like, oh, dude, let's get out there. It was a Best of the West tournament with Mike Gonzalez. I'm sure Mike, you're listening in here. It was up in Upland, California.
Okay.
So, and I believe after all the events, my brother came out, my family, I zeroed out in two events.
Oh.
I mean, so out of these are five events long. Mm-hmm. So I zeroed out. Bam! And it was a car deadlift. I never lifted a car before. So.
Oh, well, that'd be hard to do if you
know. It was a little menacing looking. You got these guys just jacking up cars. I'm like, dude, that looks cool. I'm like, I want to do that. But so I got up there. I was like, yeah, I got this. And it didn't move.
Oh.
It just, nah.
Is there a secret to moving a car?
You know, now I can move it. You just get stronger. That's the secret. That's a
secret, yeah. Be strong enough to move it. You don't get to pick the car, right?
No. He's like, I'll go with a smart car.
Me.
So going back, so I zeroed out on that one, moving on, and then I zeroed out, what other one? I think it was an Atlas now or something like that. But anyway, I took dead last.
Okay.
In my first Strongman competition.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it was pretty humbling because you got these guys, you know, I'm like, where does that power come from? Just all technique, all learning, you know, mm-hmm. It's all big learning curve, just like anything. And so I just love Strongman, even getting beat, you know, I got my ass whooped and shit. But it's a good feeling because you get out there and you did something. You know, for me, functionality is huge. So you get out there. But again, guys, I got dead freaking last. So, I mean, don't be afraid to lose, I would say.
Yeah.
In anything.
No. Because at least you're out there. Yeah.
You're going to lose.
There's a Roosevelt, I think Teddy Roosevelt, quote, and I forget it offhand, but it's basically... He's lamenting. He's like, it's better to be the gladiator in the arena than the sorry person who never attempts anything.
For damn sure.
Yeah, and I forget. It's a long quote, but I love that quote because it's so true. And most people are on the sidelines, and they're just looking for the time to be right to do something. And the people that accomplish things are the people that just go and do it. Well, everybody else talks about it and prepares for it. There's just people out there that are just lapping you because they're already on that trek because they just decided to do it. You know, you've got a choice every day of whatever it is that your goal is. Are you going to go and watch four Netflix episodes after work tonight, or are you going to work learning something? And it might take you a year or two to learn how to do whatever it is that you want to do. But the first step is so you could either watch. Whatever the mathematic is on 3 hours tonight of watching Netflix,
oh, Lord.
Or doing whatever it is that you love to do, and that's a lot of time to spend 3 hours a day. You can become an expert in a year if you do 3-4 hours a day of something, and so you're going to know a ton about movies.
Shit, I got more Game of Thrones and experts in my gym.
You'll be able to quote the real Game of Thrones. Yeah. You'll be able to quote lots of movies, and that's cool and all. Or you could be an expert in something that can actually make you money or can fulfill a passion of yours that you enjoy doing. And you make that choice every single day when you decide to sit and do nothing or you decide to go happy hour instead of going to do whatever it is. And I'm not saying happy hour is not cool once in a while. You know,
on a tangent, I always thought of that too. I'll go back to my strongman in a second. But what are you people celebrating? Like, why are you going out to a bar every day? And like, what do you do? Like, I never got that vibe. Like, I go to a bar, you know, I'd go to my girlfriend here and there. And I'm like, babe, I hate this shit. Like, why am I here? These guys aren't doing anything.
Uh-huh. Well,
a bunch of losers right here. I mean,
there's one reason to go to a bar, and that's to pick up somebody.
Well, true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a girlfriend, I mean, I already have a girlfriend. Yeah. So that's why
the bars become irrelevant at that point.
Right. Yeah. So again, uh-huh. Like, you know, what the hell am I doing here?
That's why I used to with my wife, and she'd be like, "Why don't you want to go out to the bar?" I'm like, "Well, we're married." I was like, "Why would I go to the bar?" She's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "The only reason I go to a bar is to pick up girls."
That's right.
It's the only reason I went to the bars with you when we were dating. I was like, "So you only go to a bar to pick up?" Yes.
I mean, I know.
Why else would I want to spend $100?
I mean, maybe that's me. Maybe it's just us. But that's the only sole reason why I went to bars.
Like, she's like, "Ew," sure. And I'm like, "Well." I'm not the only person that thinks that way.
Some people like casual drinking. I don't know. But like, anyway, it's a fucking waste of time.
I had that theory about dancing, too. I was like, there's a couple guys that like dancing. The rest of them are just doing it to whatever the mating ritual is.
The woo dance.
Those men, they don't want to dance with you. They'd rather do something else. They're just dancing because that's what they got to do. It's like, men, we don't like sports cars. We just buy them because girls like them.
Fucking true. I just did.
We would live in a cave with a can of SpaghettiOs. If we didn't have to do like things for, I mean, I'm convinced of that. Like, it's just,
I mean, I would definitely. You have a maid though. You already have a maid. I would have a maid.
Huh?
I don't have a maid.
I have cleaners that come every 2 weeks, so my wife doesn't have to clean the showers, toilets, and everything.
But yeah, I don't have a maid.
That's all it takes is every once a week. Yeah. That's the first best money you can spend.
It's a maid. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you've got
or a chef.
If you have an extra, because it's inexpensive in California to have like house cleaners.
Yeah.
So if you've got an extra $120.
I mean, we have a big yard. So it's only
a couple hundred bucks a month to have somebody that cleans your entire house, so you don't have to do that. And that's 6 hours of work or something.
Well worth it.
Yeah. That's the best money spent ever. Second is socks, not to get off topic. But if you're wealthy,
I love socks.
Brand new socks. Nothing feels better. So that was my thing, like 10 years ago. And me and my wife are talking. We're like, what would you do if you just if we won the lottery? Like, say we have just don't have to worry about money. And I go, I'd buy a new pair of socks every single day. I would just have, I just wear them and throw them away. And I don't do that, but I come every month. I dump my socks and I go to Costco and buy like so. I'll wash them like 3 times.
Dude,
and then I just
got a great business idea.
What?
Sock box.
Sock box? I think this probably already exists. I think.
If there is, you need to get it. Yeah, so. Anyway, we're going to look into that.
New socks.
Okay, going back.
How did we get on that?
I don't know. Going back to Strongman. So yes, I got dead freaking last in my first Strongman competition. Even though I was like, oh yeah, I'm a little bit more prepared because I'm a strong. I'm around 300 pounds right now, maybe about 15% body fat. So I'm a big dude. So, and I got my ass whooped. So, going forward, trained hard. I was like, man, that's not going to happen again. So, I went to my next one, and I believe, is that a podium on that one? I think I didn't zero out in any of the events, so I was getting better, slowly getting better. I think I didn't podium, but I got, you know, mid-pack or whatever. Next one comes around. It was I believe it's the next year, same competition, Best of the West, with Mr. Mike Gonzalez. And I podiumed, got second place, and got my invite to Nationals, the USS Strongman Corp Nationals. So that was pretty cool. I was pumped, you know, because especially anything at the national level, it's freaking hard to get there, you know. And then just where was it? It's Illinois last year. So I did not go. Had a lot of complications going on, and I didn't really want to fly out to, you know, middle of nowhere. So the year before, it was in Vegas. So I was pumped. I thought it was in Vegas. I was like, oh, yes, I'm definitely going. And I even posted on my social media. I was like, who's coming to Vegas? And my buddy, Jose, if you're listening, was like, dude, you're an idiot. It's not in Vegas. And I was like, crushed soul. Oh. I was like, no way. Where is it, bro? He's like, it's Illinois somewhere. I was like, oh, Chicago? Bro. No. I'll have to dig, man. It's
it doesn't
somewhere
matter,
out in the Midwest, and I didn't really want to go. So at the end of the day, I didn't make it to Nashville. Got
well,
the invite.
Why don't you like the Midwest? Our listeners in the Midwest would like to
sorry.
Know. Why
don't
you like
the I live Midwest? On the coast in San Diego. It's beautiful. I can't complain. I don't think I'd ever leave.
You got to go. Chicago's nuts.
I mean, Chicago's I would visit, awesome. But who would want to live? I mean,
the people live that there? Live there? The,
oh, yeah. Have
you the ever, third have, largest city in the United States?
Have they ever been out here? I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
I mean, your pick.
I've lived different spots, and I think that everywhere you live, there's a plus and minus.
Okay, so moving on. So I got Nationals that one. Moving on to the next year, which is current. I just competed.
Send
in
all hate mail to Sean at Sean Carden Fitness.
I'm just kidding. I've never traveled. Dick. So moving forward, this year, 2019. I remembered when I was competing last year, the competition of California Strongest Man came up, and I was like, man, that would be cool to kind of compete for that title. What are the weights like? And I was like, I look at him, I'm like, oh, shit. Way out of my spec right now. I was like, dude, I can't even. I mean, we're lifting, this year was a 640-pound frame, well, farmer, so 320 in each hand, carry down, and then back. There was a press medley, really technical press medley of a log, an axle.
So if you don't know what this stuff is, it's big heavy weights that he has to throw or carry somewhere, a certain distance, certain amount of time.
Yeah, here's a 320-pound log, just press over your head, then ladder up to the next axle, which is a car axle, which you can see in the video, I couldn't get my hands right on that one. So, but anyway, and then there was a keg, 225, and then a circus dumbbell. So this one's, when I was a kid, I was like, well, how did this, so it's a big, It looks like those circus dumbbells from
cartoons.
From those posters. And it's this huge dumbbell that you can only use one arm to press it above your head. And this was at 205 pounds. That's a lot.
Wow.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. With one arm, I mean, okay. So, a little technical there. And then the next event was the keg toss. That was really cool.
I saw that in the video.
Got 4 out of 5 on that one. One of the dudes to be was 6'9", 450. Shout out to you, dude. You smashed it. You're another step larger than I, but I'll get you next year. And then after that was the deadlift. So it was either 600, 650, or 700-pound deadlift. And I got a buddy, Albert. We'll talk about him next because I finally got him to come out and compete. But there was a 600-pound, and there were 100-pound wheels. So I came up, and I didn't even know, because usually the wheels are 45. Mm-hmm. So 600-pound, there were 600 pounds on the warm-up bar. And I pulled it, and I was like, oh, halfway up my knees, lap, just pop. And I was like, oh, motherfucker. So I shake it out, got it loose, and I warmed it back up. So I stuck with the weight. You can decide your weight as a Trump deadlift. Has nothing to do with MAGA.
Yeah, you lift a Donald Trump's there, and you lift him. It's he's eating 5 Big Macs, so it's tough.
He's a big guy. No. Puns aside. So I stuck at 650, got it up once. Just I wanted to make sure I at least got up on the board. Lat was giving me a bunch of pain on the way up, but I got rid of it anyway. Stuck with 650. Got it done. And then moving forward to the Atlas Stones. That was rough, man. Dude from I watched this guy from Canada. Name was Max. Just smack. Dude was 6'4", 325. No fat on this dude. Just rocked out muscle. Dude yaks up every song. Bam, bam, bam. Like, oh, man. Shit. So I hit the first one easy. It starts at, don't get me wrong here if I'm starting off as a 230 start, and it finished at 380 or 405. But I missed the last two stones. I got three of them up. I was an idiot and didn't wrap my hands. So as you can still see right now, they're still a little messed up. But my forearms, if you're picking up, I'm just going to throw this tip out. If you're picking up any concrete object, it doesn't feel good on your skin, especially when you're yanking it around. Mm. So all these guys, you know, wear tape. I usually learn things the hard way. Mm-hmm. But I do learn.
Yeah, you learned it. So I do learn. Yeah,
so I'm going to tape it up next time.
So the quickest way, one afternoon, you learned all these things.
You know. And I did it once before, like a couple conversations. I didn't think I'd learn, but I decided not to.
So I just thought, while it's in my head here, with the analogy here, and this is why I think this is a good podcast episode, is so first it's pulling the trigger. You need to pull the trigger on whatever it is that you want to do, because you're going to learn more quickly that way of just going and doing it.
Oh, way faster.
And you're not going to waste as much time, because time is the most valuable thing everybody has. You can always replenish money, but you can't get time back. It just goes and it's spent and it's gone. Whether you use that time or not is up to you. And the best way to use it is just pull the trigger and to do something, and you'll advance much further. The other thing too is that people are always looking for like the top of the mountain with success. There's always another peak. You get to the one peak, and then you look and you're like, oh, so here, you've done it, you improved, and you got to the second podium, and then you go to another contest, and then these dudes are even bigger.
Oh, bigger.
And then by the time you get to the strong man that's on ESPN, right?
Everyone's even bigger.
And those guys, you know, like, it's just...
There's another, like you said, yeah, that's a great analogy.
It's not a car move, they're pulling tractor trailers at that, you know, it's like...
Now they're pulling airplanes.
Well, there you go. So, yeah.
So, yeah, now in my competition, we're pulling semis, so the next level up, they pull 747.
Yeah, so the journey, and I hate to... burst everybody's bubble, the journey doesn't end when you reach the goal that you think you're going to reach. Because once you reach that, you become complacent with that goal, and then you set another one.
Right.
And there's other people that are trying to yank you off that mountain once you get up there. When you're down, they don't care. But when you get on top of a mountain, everybody's trying to pull you down. That's why when you get followers on the internet, there's always a bunch of haters that come around, and those haters are basically sitting in their mom's basement just writing, talking smack about you, because they can't do. The people that criticize on other people and spend a lot of amount doing it are just people that don't have their own. That makes them feel important. They're called trolls for a reason. So they're just trying to pull you underneath that bridge that you're walking over like a
dude,
real troll.
There's a lot of trolls out there.
Yeah.
And don't, I mean, sometimes you might have bad ideas or you know, and people are like, oh, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I mean, as many ideas as you come up with, there's one of them's good. I promise.
Yeah. Yeah, and
good.
And get advice from people that know what they're talking about, and then the other people that are kind of like, take it with a grain of salt if they're like, well, that's not a good, like your friends and family be like, well, I don't know about this and that, and you'll see this a lot like with people, and I'm kind of in Reddit, sometimes in the digital marketing subreddit in Reddit, I'll go answer people's questions, and then I'll get people that are, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'll go, well, there's what many different ways with, you know, to answer this question. This is my experience. So what is your experience running a multi-million dollar internet marketing company? And they don't have it.
No response.
They don't have it. And so you can take it from somebody who's done it, or you can take it from somebody who is 45 and living on, you know, living on a public assistance, and then mommy's still cooking their dinner for them. So, you know, that's your... That's usually your choice.
I see it all too often.
Get advice from people that know what they're talking about. And then the other people, you didn't really got to tune them out.
and always ask for help. That's another thing. I mean, one thing I noticed that I was always good at is asking for help. Like I know when someone, when people know what they're talking about, you just know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I don't know, figure the fuck out. Like you just know when someone's talking bullshit. Cause I mean, you're not that your accolades speak for themselves, but I mean, like, you, for example, like what you do, like you're, look at where you live, look at your, I mean, everything that you do is freaking awesome. You know, you have a platform to stand behind that you have, you've walked the walk. So I feel like that gives you the ability, you know, to tell people how to do it. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're looking for a teacher, make sure that teacher, and I see it all too often, especially in the fitness game. Mm-hmm. You see people all the time, you know, this is that, and this is, you need to do this tip to lose that. And make sure they've done it first. Make sure they've competed. Make sure they've taken it at least to the next level besides worked out at LA Fitness, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not bashing there, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, just make sure you invest in the right coach or the right trainer, whatever your aspect in life is.
Yeah. Find the right person. There are a lot of charlatans out there, and people even teach people to do that. They're like, just fake it till you.
Fake it till you make it.
That's why, yeah, I don't teach people that. What I teach people is if there's something that you want to learn, or you're good. Well, first, I just teach people internet marketing, but only the way I know it. And there's like a million ways to attack internet marketing, and this is just the way that's worked for me for 11 years, so that's what I teach people.
Right.
I don't say that this doesn't work because I don't know how to do that way. It could work, but I don't have enough time in the day to try everything, but I've tried a lot, and this is just the easiest way for me. And then the other thing, what I help people do is just with business-wise, pivot. But I don't tell them to go make up like they're a professional in something. I say, no. Take something that you are good at, that people ask you about, and then you can turn that into a profession. Or if you want to do something else, well, here's the path. It doesn't take as long as you think it does to get good at something, as long as you just go and do it.
No.
And so that's the important thing is you can pivot, and then in a year from now, you look back and go, I'm really glad that I took those steps. Now I've done this and this and this, and I know what I'm talking about now, and I can't believe I would have tried this without knowing all this. Right. And then some people a year later they go, man, I wish I would have done that. If I would have been practicing guitar for 2 hours a day for the last 2 years, I would be able to be in my favorite heavy metal band, which you probably could, but nobody plays guitar for 2 hours a day every day. The people that do are really freaking good at it. And, you know, it's anything you do is exactly that same way.
I feel like, yeah, and I feel like you definitely learn faster, quicker, more efficiently by just going out there and doing it. So, I probably have the like we kind of interviewed Shane yesterday. Mm-hmm. We got him, and he's big on the education, which is awesome. Not bashing education at all. I think it's really important. But I probably should have gotten, you know, I'm on the other end. I pulled the trigger faster than I needed to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I learned so much, and I don't mind losing. Mm-hmm. I don't mind failing. And if you see every good winner at the top, every athlete and has failed, every big winner is a big loser first. Mm-hmm. And you got to know how to suck that loss up, learn, and move from it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Evolve from it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking, I lost, so I suck. I got to quit now.
No,
that motherfucker.
Everybody sucks when they start.
Yeah.
Your first, like, no matter what it is, your first contest is going to suck. Your first game is going to suck. Your first ad you put on the internet is going to suck. Your first post you put it on your first Instagram account you start is going to suck. Your first, it's going to suck. Just embrace the suck and just move on with it.
I remember I was doing a little marketing in Dave's neighborhood because I was like, okay, I need to do some door-to-door marketing, see how this works. So, and I still have these door hangers that I put on, and I look back at it and I'm like, man, that was terrible. No wonder no one didn't call back.
No call to action.
I was like, wow, I just wrote a book on this fucking door hanger. Ain't nobody gonna read this.
Yeah, like, yeah. His door hanger was a lot of words.
A lot of words. I was like, wow, these people need to know the accolades that I'm coming from. They need to know what I've done for the last 10 years.
Instead of the important stuff, which was get a free workout and consultation.
By the time you've done reading the front and the back.
Yeah. Lose weight, get stronger. I'll give you a free training and consultation is all you needed to put on it.
You might have got to the offer on the back.
Yeah. By the
time, after you're done getting old, reading it first.
This is a common mistake with internet marketing or any marketing at all. I've seen that all the time is people will... they'll put a ton of stuff on their webpage, and people just go, I can't read that. Yeah. And then they click out of it, and in real life, they just throw it in the trash can.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm a prime example. Yeah. But again, I failed. I tried. Try.
The most efficient sales flyer in the world is, if you've ever been to Las Vegas, you got the guys that go, and they're handing these cards with the naked ladies on them. What's on that card?
There's no words.
It's a naked lady and a phone number.
And a number.
Okay? Because they know that's what works. Okay?
Oh, that's great.
And that's it. And that's really, that marketing comes down to what do I need to know? And people will ask you that. Like, they'll be like, just give me the bullet points. I don't need the whole story. I try and listen to people when they try to explain, but I really, I'm always like, what's, like business calls. I hate, like, when I'm talking to like an account manager or something, and they're like, what's up on the phone? A lot of the time it's fruitful, but they work in a corporate structure and they're used to doing these meetings where it's just, you're in a conference call for an hour and there's always some a-hole that's asking a question that was answered in the damn syllabus. If you ever had like an office job. And then they basically go over like, this was a 2-point bulletin memo. Why did we have to sit in here for an hour and a half wasting our day? Like, I don't know how large corporations survive because this is the kind of, so when they get on the phone, they just want to chit chat.
They're just filibustered.
And I feel like I'm being rude and I go, let's get to the meat of this. What are we looking to accomplish and how do we get there? What's the purpose of this meeting? Where are we going with this? And then people, and then I do that. And then I saw somebody, I got this verified. I was, I don't know if it was a podcast or something, and somebody who worked for Oprah. I think I saw him at Funnel Hacking Live. And it was at Oprah. And he had a meeting with Oprah, and she does this at every meeting, he said. And they sit down and they go, what's our purpose today? That's what she wants. She doesn't want the hello and this and that, and I feel like we could do this. No, what's our purpose? What are we trying to achieve? And then how do we achieve it?
I like that.
And that's what the meeting's about, so she doesn't waste her goddamn lunch hour in your meeting. And that's how I like to take phone calls with people. Not like with when I'm introducing somebody or whatever, if it's my customer, but if it's somebody that I don't have to talk to. I'm like, what's the purpose here? What do we want to do? Let's get there and achieve it.
Time's valuable. It's the only thing you can't get back.
Yeah, yeah. So that's off topic too, but...
Anyway, tangent. Tangent. It happens a lot.
So let's get back to the puking part. Because I think... No, because this is important because most people are like, I'm afraid to try it. Okay. Did you puke when you tried your thing last time? Is what you need to ask yourself. No, well, you're not that fucking afraid because Sean here tries things and then it's his second or third time, he's still puking before it goes on because that's just the way it is and you got to get over that. So, and like with the definition of like people are like, I wish I was braver or I wish I wasn't a coward or something. But a brave person doesn't mean that they don't feel fear unless they're a psychopath. But most people who are brave, they have the same fear that everybody else does, but they're willing to do what is necessary even though they have that fear. And then the coward is somebody who has that fear and refuses to do it. And so some people think that people who are brave or do things don't have fear. Now, they have the same amount of fear you do. You're choosing to let the fear control what you do instead of facing it head on. And what happens when you face fear head on is that boogeyman goes away. It's like conquer when you're a kid. That. And there's the ghost, there's the monsters in the closet or under the bed. And what happens if you get the guts? You don't have balls when you're, but what happens when you've got the guts and you're 6 years old or 5 years old, you look underneath that bed and there's no monster.
Sleep with a screwdriver.
So his legend goes away.
Was that too much?
But when you expose it, the fear goes away. Fear is scared away by you facing it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And going back to that puking, for sure. So it's kind of the preemptive thought is what kind of gets that going. And I've never really been anxious or had anxiety or shit. I tell people, like, what is anxiety, you know? But now you're afraid of losing, really. You're afraid of failing, of what might happen. I mean, especially you got your friends that you're coming out, you got your family coming out all to watch you, mm-hmm. you know, and the last thing you want to do is just fuck up bad and, you know, not be able to do anything. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, none of that shit matters. Mm-mm. Cause your body will do what it's supposed to do. That's why you train. That's why you're programmed, you know, mm-hmm. that's why you learn things, mm-hmm. And kind of evolve out of that. But, so I thought it was only me because I beside that Eminem, you know, I always vibe on that Eminem song now. So, mm-hmm. Mama Spaghetti, Mama's he's spaghetti. Nervous.
There's a lot of pro athletes.
I was like, dude,
mental vomit. Yeah,
I did puke up the spaghetti from BJ's. Uh-huh. Just kidding. So, I did too the night before the California man. And I thought it was kind of me, and then I kept reading on these feeds, the USS Strongman Corporation, Alex Bromley. Got promoted. He's a good friend too. to one of the head positions. Anyway, so I was reading one of his bios, and he remembers, too, he said he's driving with his mom to his first event and puked. And I was like, it's not me. It's, you know what I mean? It's stepping out of your comfort zone. It's getting the balls to get the fuck up and not be afraid to fail. Not be afraid to take a zero. You know what I mean? Because it's happened before, and I promise you it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
You'll learn from it. You'll evolve. You'll grow. And for every damn loss I've had, zero regrets. Mm-hmm. I take that loss 100 times over, you know, because I learned so much and I evolved so much from each one. Because I could tell myself now what I could tell other people now what not to do, what to do. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I think coaching and learning and all that stuff comes from. You know, just doing it, because then you actually have a platform or something to stand behind that says you did this. You know what I mean? Do it.
I mean, what's break down? So the fear when you're getting up there, and whether it's when you're doing a competition, or maybe you want to be a public speaker, or maybe you're a musician and or you want to play in front of people, and it's your first couple times, or even when you're experienced, the anxiety is really your mind thinking all the possibilities where things could go wrong, and you get scared from it. Instead of the things that actually go wrong, and even if they do go wrong, that just is like your brain's like, oh, I told you this would happen. But the only fear you really have is that you'll mess up, and that the people watching you will laugh at you, or you'll be embarrassed by it. But what is that really? Let's think about that. Do the people in the audience that are your friends and family, or even people watching you, if you screw up, they still clap, right? They're not... you shouldn't be embarrassed, because they have respect for you because you're up there trying.
I was gonna say, at the end of the day, you're the one in the pit.
You're the one, you are
the gladiator.
You're the gladiator. You're the one in the arena. You're the one on the stage. So you have nothing to be embarrassed about. And then the other people who are on stage with you respect you because they're in the same spot.
Absolutely. As you, which is funny you say that, because you, especially with Charmin, you kind of get this brotherhood, this band, you know, and everyone has this mutual respect for the work it takes to get there. And no matter what, you know those people, because and that's kind of how I tighten up my friend circle now. You know, do you have work ethic? Are you dedicated? And if not, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really have time for you. You know what I mean? You're not bringing anything, you know what I mean? So, and you kind of, and your friends are kind of tightens and whatnot, but you evolve and you advance and you grow, and you know, you are who you associate with. I never thought that was true, because my mom's always like, you know, you have friends, you dumb dude. I'm like, mom, they're my best friends, this and that. But as your friends get smarter, you get smarter. As your friends get wiser, you get wiser, you know? So you, and so I would say too, for anyone who's struggling, surround yourself with people who are, you know, have the same mindset, who have the same mentality. The goal at the end of the day is to be successful. Find people who want that goal.
They're going to have habits in common, and you're going to start figuring those habits out. And no matter what group of friends, you'll pick it out. And you'll see that people that have hard luck all the time, or appear to have hard luck, have habits that they do repeatedly over and over again. And then they like to commiserate with people that have those same bad habits, so that they can use that as, see, it's not just me. And then you'll find people that have achieved whatever you consider success, and they're going to have similar habits, no matter what it is that they're looking to do. You'll see that they have things in common too. And and so don't be afraid, because the people that are up there in the arena with you have respect for you. And then even if there is somebody that laughs or chuckles or something, that's
just them.
That's their insecurity. Because they know how that feels, and they're afraid of it. That's their deepest fear.
And that's their goal. They want to be where you are.
And that's their... That's themselves trying to make that fear in their head go out of them. That's like their morbid sense of humor. Almost.
You're always going to have those people who are hating. Those who are going to say,
like with bands,
saying you're not doing it.
Like my experience with stage is you get on stage and you play music, right? And sometimes you just suck, and there's nothing you can do about it. The crowd hates it. You're just playing like shit. And then there'll be some other band that starts snickering about your playing. It happens. But that's just... And I'm probably guilty of doing this too. Somebody's just fucking terrible, and you're like, oh my God. You're kind of giggling about it. But the reason you do that is because in the back of your head, you've got those same fucking fears, and this makes you feel better about feeling that way. It's like when people, it's more of a tangent, when people treat people if somebody's mean to like wait staff or even homeless people, and I'm not mean to put people in the same category, but when people have this fear of themselves, they project it on other people.
Entirely.
And that's what happens. And so if somebody has a tough day at work, they'll go out and take it on to somebody who can't defend themselves, which is usually somebody who's like in service, because you'll get fired if you talk back to the customer. And that's why people are a-holes to like staff service, is because that's their biggest fear, and they're just projecting their insecurities on you. So even if somebody does clown you, they're just insecure, and you know that. You don't even have to say anything to them.
Tune it out.
Just ignore them. You tune them out, because that's their insecurities playing on them.
Absolutely. Handle it. I mean, and the Nike kind of phrase, just hit it head on. Just do it. I would say there's no other best way to go about anything.
Probably best marketing term ever.
And wherever you are, sitting in your car, sitting in your house, sitting in traffic, wherever you are, no, like jokes aside, go out and do it. Because I know you're pondering on an idea right now when you're hearing us talk. And that idea right now, I'm telling you right now to do it. Just go out. And I know you've already come up with steps to do it. It's funny because people already know how to do it. Mm-hmm. They just won't. What do you do you need Big Sean to come and tell you to do it? Big Sean is telling you now. Handle it. Yeah. Handle your business.
And then if you want, just hit us up on Instagram and, you know, maybe post it or something, and hashtag us.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. We'll always get back to you guys as well. If you want to answer us and any questions, Dave's obviously double comma marketing genius. I call him the master of disaster on the internet for sure. And then any weightlifting or any training kind of questions or anything you want us to answer, just shoot us a DM or email.
Find us. Yeah, you know where to find us. We'll look up Blue Hair Dave and you'll Instagram and at Blue Hair Dave or whatever. Or hashtag, I don't even know.
Well, we'll get a page going on here too.
Yeah, I'm not a social media marketing expert. See, that's so many different ways to make money. Some people are super, my Instagram game is super weak, so you should add to it and make it stronger. But if we motivated you, because I know when you're listening to us, you're like, whatever it is that you're considering, I know you're in the back of your head, you're like, God damn it. They're right. I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And so let us know that we helped motivate you, because that really makes us feel good. And when people tell me that, you know, they're like, hey, you know what? You said something the other day on this live chat you were on or whatever, Dave, and it really hit home for me. And that,
yeah.
You know, because I know, because that's how.
Well, you've done that for me a couple times. I'm so texting you. I was like, bro, fucking love you.
Because we feel that. We know because we're in that same spot and it still happens. So. It's just you gotta pull the trigger and you gotta get things done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna wrap up this episode, pulling the trigger, and Sean's foray into doing competitive stuff that he didn't even Google to figure out how to do first.
Yeah, I'd say probably Google, learn a little bit. Definitely don't do the guns blazing yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but no, go guns blazing and then go look at Google. Go sign up for that. Go sign up for that contest. Whatever it is.
Yeah, sign up. Pull the trigger first and then do some learning.
And in fact,
that is the
go there planning to be last place. Who cares?
Right.
And just go and do it. Remember, when you did one of the contests I came to, there was a guy on stage.
Oh,
and he was like 100 pounds.
Yes.
But he still got up on that damn stage.
The only one in his class.
He was the only guy in his class. He won the award.
You went to the one that I actually took second, Mr. San Diego. Because I did good in that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And there was the big dude who was...
he had biceps on top of biceps.
We'll just say he ran a little too much HGH in the gut. But anyway, so he had the turtle shell belly and...
But he had like four biceps on
top. I mean, don't get me wrong. Dude was just yacked beyond all reason. But it didn't really look good.
He was 40, but he looked like he was 70.
You ever seen a vacuum? It was like an anti-vacuum. It was like a... balloon with abs on it. I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, and I didn't think it was a good look myself.
Old man pot belly. We can't help it. that's my excuse. But there was a guy on stage. Well, he was younger too, right? He was the only guy in his weight class, and he was not
not at all. It looked like
he would have been. He might have been for like a how trim can you get?
Yeah, no muscular definition.
He had no muscular definition, but he got on that stage
in a speedo,
and did his damnedest, and he won an award because he was the only guy up there.
Yeah. He did his little dance for sure. Yeah,
but he was the most inspirational. Everybody cheered the loudest for that guy because he was the most inspirational. He might have had it. You know, he might have had a disease or something for all we know. No, I'm serious.
Oh, he could have.
You know what I mean? And he got up there because that was his dream. And that guy, I give credit to the most.
Absolutely.
And he just went and did it. So what's your excuse? And that's another thing is, what's your excuse? I don't know if I told this, but the guy at LA Fitness that I see all the time, he's had a stroke. I probably talked about this in another podcast. And he's you know, stroke, so half of his face isn't working, and half of his arm, one of his arms doesn't work. And he does all the machines. He can't use free weights unless it's one arm. You can't, like, but he's got to use the machines. And he's lifting as slow as possible. It takes him like 2 hours to get his workout in. And his shirt says, and I'm glad he wears it, he says, "I had a stroke. What's your excuse?"
Nice.
And he's like, you know, he's probably like 55. But he's in there and he's handling getting it
business.
Done. Yeah. And so those are the inspirational people out there. You really have no excuse because you make choices into whether you're going to go get something done or not. All right. So we're going to end this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and hit us up. I am Blue Hair Dave.
Big Sean.
And this is Success Layers Podcast.